It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome back one last time this week. It is the Fade the Chalk podcast, presented, of course, by the FTN Network. Adam Pfeiffer here. Solo pod here on a Friday. We are going to, every Friday, do a little bit of a start-sit episode where we kind of go over some players that are ranked very closely to each other, make for some tough start-sit decisions, and kind of play it by ear and see which player gets the edge. We'll do that here this afternoon, this evening, whenever you're listening. And we'll also break down and recap Thursday night's season opener between the Dallas Cowboys and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That was a very fun way to start the season. We'll talk about some of the fantasy takeaways from that game, and we'll then get right into some of these start-sit decisions. Obviously, we're not going to sit here and waste your time, right? We're not in the business of wasting your time. I'm not going to sit here and tell you to start Patrick Mahomes and start, you know, Davante Adams. But there are a lot of, even in week one, there are a lot of decisions that are tough, especially, and I feel like this podcast is going to be perfect for anybody with flex decisions, right? You have a mid-range wide receiver and a mid-range running back that you're struggling to decide between, and that's going to happen a lot this week and this season, so I think this can be very helpful. Before we get into all the great stuff, though, want to remind everybody to check out Top Prop Sports, launched just the other day, and we've talked about it on this podcast a lot during the offseason. And look, it's in season now. This is an awesome new site and adds way more competitiveness to your traditional redraft league. You draft your teams, obviously, whatever site you play on. Then you just import your league to Top Prop Sports. You sign up, enter your email, use the promo code use the code FTN. And then wherever you're playing, right? You're playing on ESPN, you're playing on Yahoo, you're playing on CBS. You import that league with everything in it. You invite your league mates, and then you can play weekly cash contests in your redraft league, so you don't have to wait until the end of the season to determine who's the best and who gets cash prizes. It's very fun. It adds way more competitiveness and more trash talk to your home redraft league. So again, Top Prop Sports, make sure you are checking it out. Let's recap Thursday Night Football, the debut of the 2021 NFL season. And how great was this? I mean, we got everything we could ask for, right? We had the return of Dak Prescott, who looked brilliant in his first game back. We got probably the two best pass catching offenses in terms of receivers in the NFL, and they were all great in this game, maybe outside of one player. And then, of course, we had reigning defending Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who win this game 31-29 over the Dallas Cowboys. A lot of passing in this game, right? Tom Brady, 50 pass attempts. He has 379 yards and 4 touchdowns. Dak Prescott on the other side, 58 passing attempts, 403 yards and 3 scores. And look, it was pretty clear right out of the gate what Dallas and Kellen Moore wanted to do in terms of their offensive play calling here. Facing the best run defense in the NFL in Tampa Bay, they came out and said, you know what? We're not going to just play to their strength. We're going to play to ours. And they got one-on-ones on the outside against Jamel Dean with Michael Gallup, Amari Cooper, and CeeDee Lamb, and they went right at it. And that's one of the reasons you saw 58 pass attempts from Dak Prescott. I thought looked great in this game. I mean, remember the first drive of this game for Dallas, they started their own 2 and they marched down the field, ultimately stalled, but like it was impressive right out of the gate for Prescott. The arm, you know, the velocity on the throws weren't always there, but I thought the touch was there. His ability to stay in the pocket was like, he looked great. I mean, he is an absolute superstar in this league. In case you didn't realize that in his samples from last year, he is. Dak Prescott, start him every week. He's awesome. Zeke Elliott is the talk of fantasy right now. A lot of people are a little bit concerned. 11 carries for 33 yards, 2 catches on, I believe, 3 targets or 2 targets for just 6 yards. Just missed a receiving touchdown and then just missed a rushing touchdown. A lot of people are worried. A lot of people are saying you wasted a first round draft pick on Ezekiel Elliott in fantasy. I'm not even close to there. I'm not worried at all about Ezekiel Elliott. He played 70 snaps to Tony Pollard's 20. He, I believe, ran more routes than Tony Pollard. And I understand like they wanted Zeke in there for pass protection, which isn't what you drafted Ezekiel Elliott to do. But like, yeah, Tony Pollard looked more explosive last year, and he looked more explosive on his limited sample in this game. But like, all of Tony Pollard's touches came in space. Like, Zeke had 1 or 2 touches in space. Like, I understand it's the popular thing to do to say Zeke is washed and Tony Pollard's better, but like, Zeke's fine. Like, I didn't see anything to where I was like, yeah, Zeke can't play in the NFL. Like, Zeke's going to be the number one running back on a team that's going to score a ton of points, and they're not going to, I understand they're going to want to throw the ball a lot, but this rate, like, this was a clear game-specific situation for Zeke Elliott, and like, I would say go try to trade for him, but I think people are smart enough to know that this isn't what we should expect from Zeke Elliott. He's going to have more 20 carry games. He's going to have multiple touchdown games. Like, don't worry about Zeke Elliott, please. Do not worry about Zeke. The receivers, I mean, awesome. Amari Cooper, 13 catches for 139 yards and 2 touchdowns on 16 targets. CeeDee Lamb, not the most efficient game, 7 catches on 15 targets, had some drops, but still has a great game, 104 yards and a score. Then Michael Gallup got off to a good start, 4 catches for 36 yards on 7 targets, but he left with an ankle injury. Well, it would appear to be an ankle injury. News came out about 30 minutes ago while I'm recording this that Michael Gallup has been diagnosed with, I believe, a calf strain. And he's going to be out for, they're saying, 3 to 5 weeks potentially. So obviously this is massive because Dallas is going to use three receivers in two receiver sets in this game on Thursday. It was Gallup and Amari Cooper. So you look at the overall snaps in this game. CeeDee Lamb was at 61, Gallup was at 50. But for the first half, CeeDee Lamb was easily third on this team in snaps among receivers. CeeDee Lamb's going to be an every down player now until Michael Gallup's back. So, and they did a good, like, Dallas did an incredible job in this game of moving Cooper, Lamb, and Gallup all over the formation. But I will say, Cedric Wilson in deeper leagues, deeper three receiver leagues, we've seen this team, and Cedric Wilson even played a nice game last night. You know, he did a lot of the little things, but 3 for 24. He's the clear number three receiver now in deeper three receiver leagues. He needs to be looked at. And I think Dalton Schultz, I mean, a question, maybe the only question mark about Dallas entering the season for fantasy was, what's the tight end split going to look like? Because Blake Jarwin was a popular sleeper this time last season, of course, tears his ACL. They were kind of basically a split almost. Schultz played 57 snaps. Jarwin played 48. I believe the routes favored Schultz. Like, it's going to be tough to feel great about starting either one, but I think Dalton Schultz, and he has been for me all offseason, was the guy to target, and I still think you can look at him, and tight end's brutal after the time. We know that. We don't have to say that. So, like, Dalton Schultz could be worth a look with Michael Gallup out for potentially 3 to 5 weeks. For Tampa Bay, I mean, Antonio Brown looked amazing in this game. 5 for 121 and a touchdown on 7 targets. Look, he was pretty much the best value in fantasy drafts all offseason. You look at since he made his debut with Tampa Bay, I mean, he's been right up there in terms of targets per game with Godwin, with Mike Evans. Godwin, great game. He easily led this team in targets with 14, 9 catches, 105 yards, and a touchdown. Also almost scored a second one, but fumbled right around the goal line. Gronk scores 2 touchdowns, 8 for 90. Gronk was pretty impressive in this game, making one-handed catches, making plays after the catch, making catches in traffic. I think Gronk, there were some concerns about how much O.J. Howard and Cameron Brate would play. I mean, they weren't even on the field in this game. I mean, Gronk played 57 snaps, Brate played 20, Howard played 6. I mean, Gronk right now, easy top 8 tight end each week. He just kind of has to be. The offense is so good. Brady still trusts him. The thing with Tampa Bay is, like, Mike Evans was the guy that didn't get it done in this game. 3 for 24 and 6 targets. This will happen when you have 4 incredible pass catchers on the same team. Who knows? One week it's going to be Antonio Brown that has a bad game. One week it's going to be Chris Godwin. So, like, Mike Evans, I'm not freaking out about, but, like, you knew coming into the season, like, he was going to be a little bit touchdown dependent and a lot more than the past couple seasons, because obviously Antonio Brown didn't play till halfway through the season last year, and Godwin missed time last year with a finger injury. He had a concussion. So when this team's full strength, like, it's going to be hard for all 4 pass catchers to have good fantasy games. And Evans was kind of shadowed by Trayvon Diggs in this game, who did a great job. I think he was on him on 80% of his routes. Had a couple pass deflections, had an interception that wasn't on Evans, but you know, we'll see. But like, Evans, I think, is, don't drop him or anything. He's gonna have weeks. We know that. So it's hard in week one, right? We have an island game where we've been waiting for football forever, It's hard not to overreact, but try not to. Try your best. Closing out with the backfield, Leonard Fournette got the start. It wasn't pretty. And then Ronald Jones got some work. And then fumbles, doesn't play again. Not great. Which is, it's interesting because like Leonard Fournette had a terrible, terrible drop in this game that led to a pick. Goes right back in the game. If you watch, Ronald Jones is a better football player than Leonard Fournette. At least a better runner. Don't trust Bruce Arians, though. If Bruce Arians comes out and says Ronald Jones isn't going to play a lot this week, he's probably going to play a lot, and vice versa. So, like, you're not comfortable starting anybody from this backfield, but clearly, and we saw it down the stretch of this game, they have to just give Giovanni Bernard all the passing down work because Fournette can't catch, Ronald Jones can't catch or hang on to the football. So don't sleep on Gio. He's a perfect fit with Tom Brady. So that'll do it for Thursday night. We got a lot more action here over the weekend. And like I said, I wanted to go over some interesting start-sit dilemmas that I found, some players that are kind of ranked close to each other. We'll start with the running backs here. And again, this podcast most of the time will be myself with a co-host, but yesterday was crazy. This week is crazy, so couldn't really get anybody on. We will have a guest on more often than not on this Friday podcast, so don't worry about that. I won't be talking to myself for 30 minutes every single week. So first start sit dilemma here is Tyson Williams, and it's pretty fitting with everything going on in Baltimore right now, right? First, J.K. Dobbins out for the year with the torn ACL. Then we get the just awful, awful, awful news yesterday that during the same session in practice, Gus Edwards and Marcus Peters in Baltimore tear their ACLs. They're done for the season. So Tyson Williams went from fourth string running back, and of course, obviously, Justice Hill tore his Achilles last week. So he went from fourth string running back to third string to second string. Now he's got to be at least for week one as the one or 1A. They bring in Latavius Murray. They bring in Devonta Freeman. And Le'Veon Bell is on the practice squad. It sounds like Le'Veon Bell isn't in game shape, they're saying, and he's probably not going to play week one. So that'll put them with Tyson Williams, Devonta Freeman, and Latavius Murray. I would project it to go Williams and Murray as the two main backs. But look, Tyson Williams has been around the offense the most. He has the best, you know, he should be the most prepared for Monday night. I think he starts, and it's the Raiders, man. They allowed last season, they were bottom five in points per drive allowed. They allowed the second most rushing touchdowns per game at 1.5. Baltimore, we know running backs in Baltimore's scheme and in their offense are going to be efficient. So like Tyson Williams, for me, it's the debate was Tyson Williams or the Denver Broncos running backs, Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams. And for me, I'm going Tyson Williams. I think there's more upside there just in regards to the matchup. I also think there's a chance there's more upside for touches, right? We saw Javonte Williams look good in the preseason. Melvin Gordon didn't play until the final preseason game, and then Javonte Williams rested in that game. So you can look at a multitude of ways, whether you say, okay, they wanted to just get Melvin Gordon to work to get him get work with the ones because he's going to start, or they saying, We know what we have in Javonte Williams. We want him healthy and fresh to play and be our starter. I think it's going to be like a split. I think there's a better chance Baltimore's isn't quite a split. So given the matchup and everything, I even with the injuries Baltimore has right now, I still think they should put up plenty of points against the Raiders. So give me Tyson Williams over Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams. Who would have thought? And I see a lot of people talking about this, and it's a good point. Tyson Williams might be this year's James Robinson. We will see. Another running back situation. James Conner in Arizona. Really nice game environment against the Titans. One of the highest totals of the slate. Should be a lot of points scored. Or Trey Sermon in a game that's not expected to be as high scoring, but the situation definitely favors Trey Sermon. Both running backs are probably the 1B, I would say, to start the season in their offenses. I'm going Trey Sermon here, and I've drafted James Conner a lot this offseason, right? I think there's upside in that offense, but for me, and yes, I think I fully project and expect Raheem Mostert to start this game and the season as the number one running back for San Francisco. But this is a team last year, I mean, they ran the ball like 25 times a game with their running backs, and it was a season where their defense was banged up, and they were actually trailing in more games than we have been accustomed to seeing from San Francisco. So what if they're, you know, now that they're healthy and they're road favorites here, I mean, they're going to run the ball, if not more, you know, as much, if not more. And if they're huge favorites here and Detroit's as bad as we think they're going to be and San Francisco rolls and this game's out of hand at the end of the third quarter, they're not going to give Raheem Mostert with his injury history carries in the fourth. It's going to be Trey Sermon. So I think he has a path to 12 to 15 carries in this game. And against Detroit, a team that's allowed the most rushing touchdowns per game since last season and the most points per drive at just under three per drive. Yeah, Sermon's an easy call for me here. Like, I would start Sermon, honestly, over a handful of players, right? I think I would start him over, let's take a look. I would start him over, I mean, this obviously hindsight, but I would have told you to start Sermon over both Tampa Bay running backs. I don't think that's a stretch. Definitely over both Buffalo running backs you want to start him over. Definitely over anybody from the Jets, anybody from Houston. I would start him over Connor, obviously. Edmonds in PPR, I would. But in half, I might go Sermon, honestly. Sermon, I would start over. The Denver running backs is close. We just talked about them. That one's honestly pretty close, too. And maybe even like Josh Jacobs, I might too. Like, Josh Jacobs is in a terrible spot. So I like Sermon quite a bit. I think he's a really strong flex play this week. So if you have him and you're kind of in a pinch, don't be too afraid to put Trey Sermon in your starting lineup this week. Let's move over to receiver, Laviska Shenault or Courtland Sutton. And I'll just preface this by saying, without even realizing it, I have three receiver debates here, and three receivers from the Giants and Broncos games are on this. It wasn't on purpose. It's just looking at where players are ranked. And you can look at our rankings, by the way, over at FTN Fantasy. Myself, Jeff Ratcliffe, Elliot Chris, Derek Brown, Chris Meany, Matt Friedman. We do rankings, you know, positional for PPR, overall for half PPR, for standard, for super flex, dynasty, a bunch of great stuff. So you can make sure, you know, if you, you know, are struggling with start-sit decisions over the weekend and you're looking for a tiebreaker, perhaps, FTN Fantasy, check out the rankings. A ton of them up there, and they're getting updated constantly. But I think those receivers in that game are all kind of ranked, and a lot of them are tough to project, right? Courtland Sutton's one of those players. We saw him in the preseason, to end the preseason. He looked good, looked confident, cutting off that leg. But this is a tough matchup, right? James Bradbury kind of emerged as a shutdown corner last season, so I'm expecting him to see plenty of James Bradbury in this game on the outside. Who knows what the target distribution is going to be with Teddy Bridgewater under center. We would think that would benefit Jerry Jeudy, and we'll talk about Jeudy in a minute. But I think this game has an overall total of like 41 or 42 points. It is not very enticing. So for me, give me Laviska Shenault on a team that's got a high implied total against an awful Houston Texans defense that last season, they just couldn't tackle last year, and I don't expect that to change very much. They were sixth in missed tackles in the NFL. They actually allowed the most yards after contact in the NFL, which, sure, might be a running back stat, but that bodes well for Laviska Shenault, too, who was top six or seven in terms of missed tackles forced among receivers, and he's just like a running back when he gets the ball in his hand. So I think that could help him, too. Desmond King's probably their best corner. He'll probably see some of him in the slot, but like that doesn't scare me. And he's going to have plenty of room to operate in the intermediate and short parts of the field because with Darrell Bevell calling plays and with Marvin Jones and DJ Chark on the perimeter, they're going to run the deep routes and give and create a ton of space for Shenault. And especially with Travis Etienne not there for the season, that's going to be his area to kind of dominate targets. So I'm very, very excited about Laviska Shenault this week. I would start him over a handful of guys, including both Denver receivers. Speaking of Denver receivers, Jerry Jeudy or Devonta Smith? This is a very close one. I'm still struggling with this as I'm talking right now. I think there's a serious breakout season potential for Jerry Jeudy this year, especially with him not running. His average up the target last year was around 14. His deep catchable target rate was like the worst in the NFL. Drops were like the efficiency just couldn't be any worse. It's going to get much better, especially if he's playing, moving around the formation more, getting more intermediate targets because he's so good as a route runner and he's so good after the catch. Again, though, I'm leaning towards Devonta Smith because I think there's a higher overall target potential for him in his offense and that game environment and matchup is better. So for me, Smith kind of gets a slight edge right now, but it's very close. I got a couple questions before Thursday Night Football asking like Jeudy or Antonio Brown. And I said Antonio Brown, so that hopefully is going to pay off. But I think I would go Devonta Smith. It's very close, though. It's extremely close. Wouldn't fight you if you went the other way at all. Last receiver, Juju Smith-Schuster or Kenny Galladay. So Galladay's, this is an easy one for me, but they are close for a lot of people. And it's easy for me as well because I'm higher on Juju than most this year and probably this week. Because you look at Buffalo, yeah, they're a great secondary. They don't allow a ton of, they allow some of the fewest plays of 20 plus yards in the passing game as any team in football. They do that because they play a lot of zone. And a zone defense against a slot receiver like Juju, who just lives off short area targets, like Buffalo is going to give them that. And in PPR leagues, he's going to have like one of those 7-for-60 games. Like, that's fine. That's points for me. I don't care. I think that's what we're going to see with Juju in this game. Tre'Davious White's not going to shadow anybody from this offense. He's going to stay on one side, I imagine. So he'll probably see plenty of Claypool, and he'll probably see plenty of Deontay Johnson, and not as much Juju because Juju's in the slot. And if Pittsburgh continues to go more 12 personnel, and I've been on this for a while, some people think it's Claypool that plays opposite Deontay Johnson. I think it's Juju. I think he's a very good physical run blocker, and I think they would keep him on the field there. Galladay still has the hamstring. I don't think he's 100%. The matchup's not good. Denver has really improved their secondary, bringing in Kyle Fuller and Patrick Surtain and Ronald Darby. And the pass rush is good. And if that Giants offensive line, which looks to be still among the league's worst, if they can't give Daniel Jones time, Kenny Galladay, who runs most of his routes deep down the field, he's not going to have time. And in case you haven't watched Daniel Jones play football over the last year and a half, when he doesn't have a clean pocket, he's very bad. It's not pretty to watch. So for me, I understand Galladay has like the ceiling of 100 plus yards, deep, long passing plays, red zone work, touchdowns and stuff. And maybe if Barkley's not getting a full workload in this game, assuming he plays, which I think he is going to play, maybe that helps. But for me, it's Juju, not even close in PPR, a little bit closer in half, but I'm still going Juju pretty easily here. We will wrap it up with a tight end matchup between Austin Hooper and Gerald Everett. I think these guys are kind of close to each other right now as well. Hooper facing the Kansas City Chiefs, Everett facing the Colts. I'm going Hooper here. The matchup's really good. You look at the Chiefs last year, they were bottom 8 in fantasy points, targets, receptions, and yards allowed per game to opposing tight ends. Tyrann Mathieu, I saw popped up. I don't know if it was the injury report or if it was something COVID related. This was yesterday, so I'm going to double check, but there was like some talk of him potentially not playing in this game. So this came out. Yeah. So, this was, I think, yesterday. Defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo said that safety Tyrann Mathieu's status for Sunday is, quote, up in the air right now. He's been on the COVID list since September 1st. He's only been in virtual meetings, so there's a chance Tyrann Mathieu doesn't play. That could be massive for a player like Austin Hooper, who I understand Odell Beckham's back and the Browns are going to run a ton of 2 and 3 tight end sets, but I'm leaning the matchup here. Gerald, like, both players are going to be at best the third options in the passing game. And the Colts, like, there's a chance Everett can have a nice game. The Colts are another team that plays a ton of zone defense, giving you the short intermediate stuff, not letting plays behind them. And Shane Waldron's going to be, you know, calling this offense. There's going to be more quick hitting passes, more shorter passes, and letting these players make plays after the catch. That's where Gerald Everett is very good. And he's obviously very familiar with Shane Waldron. But I'm going to lean the matchup with Austin Hooper. Cleveland, you expect to be trailing. Who knows how 100%, how close to 100% Odell Beckham is. For what it's worth, like, Ladarius Sneed, like, the Chiefs have been outstanding against receivers in fantasy, especially number one receivers. So if Legarius Sneed continues to play well and the secondary continues to shut down receivers, maybe that leads to more Austin Hooper in this game. So give me Austin Hooper over Gerald Everett, which pains me because as you guys have heard, I love Gerald Everett as a player and I love him this year in fantasy. But that'll do it. Again, shorter podcast with just me on it. We will have a guest very, very often on this podcast every Friday, probably more often than not. And like I said, Thursday's the huge game-by-game DFS breakdown. Friday's going to be start-sit like this. Flex questions, kind of players that you have ranked closely that you're unsure about, that it could go either way. That's what I tried to do today. But we're here. It's been a fun first week of the NFL. We're going to have, I think, 5 podcasts a week. We only had 4 this week because Sunday I record the recap podcast, which uploads on Monday. Obviously, we didn't have any games last week, so that will be recorded on Sunday after, probably during Sunday Night Football. will be uploaded on Monday, and it'll be helpful. Help, you know, we can see what we can take from these games that should be, you know, noteworthy and stuff that we can, you know, kind of push to the side and say it's not as important, go through injuries, go through stats, all that great stuff. So, as always, appreciate everybody listening. It's been a great start to the season. Hopefully it continues. Hopefully you guys have a successful week one and a great weekend. Thanks for listening as always. D-Bro and I'll be back next week. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.